The hatchery forecast doesn't completely offset the bad news this year for wild stocks, but it is a significant amount of fish. With the wild stock quota down to 170,000 kings this year, the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, known as NSERA in Sitka, is expecting a hatchery return of almost 65,000 kings. SERA, or the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association in Ketchikan, is expecting about 50,000 kings. In short, hatchery returns of Chinook this year will total almost 60% of the wild stock quota, and none of those hatchery fish is negotiated away at the treaty table. Low wild stock abundance this season is being blamed both on poor ocean survival conditions and the collapse of Chinook stocks in a couple of key river systems in the Pacific Northwest. NSERA operations manager Steve Reifenstuhl believes Alaskan Chinook, both wild and hatchery produced, fared better.
Our fish aren't rearing in those waters. They're not coming out of those freshwater systems. So it's almost like talking apples and oranges. And so the wild stocks in Alaska are doing fairly well.
Reifenstuhl says NSERA's forecast model is not correlated to returns in Washington, Oregon, or British Columbia. Rather, it's based on the strength of an age class. Chinook typically spend 2 to 4 years or more in the ocean before returning to spawn. Large numbers of a particular age class of fish caught in one season typically mean good returns in subsequent years. SERA General Manager John Burke says that's the case this season in his Chinook program.
Once you've seen, let's say, the three-year-olds, you have a pretty good sense of fours, fives, sometimes even sixes and sevens from that same group. So we pretty much work just from our own fish on kings.
Burke says that shorter-lived species in the hatchery program, like chum and coho, may be more susceptible to the poor ocean survival conditions that affected Chinook returns in the Pacific Northwest. SERA's Chinook returns have been trending upward over the last several years, particularly at Neats Bay and Anita Bay, which will see over 15,000 and 11,000 kings back this year. Burke says newly released Chinook smolt seem to thrive on the nearby Stikine River flats before heading out to sea. The largest hatchery contributor to Chinook in Southeast, and in fact the whole West Coast, is NSERA's Medviji hatchery near Sitka, which is expecting a return of 43,000 kings this June. Operations manager Reifenstuhl says NSERA has doubled smolt production from 2 to 4 million since 2004 through what is called a zero-check program, which holds the young Chinook in fresh water for less than a year rather than the typical two. Reifenstuhl says wild Chinook smolt in the Stikine and Taku rivers are much smaller than hatchery smolt, and the zero-check program is an attempt to replicate nature's release strategy. NSERA concentrates on rearing high-quality fish, really smolty, in Reifenstuhl's words, and ready for life in the open ocean. The rest, he says, is timing.
This is going to be another very cold spring. Cold freshwater temperatures, cold ocean temperatures, and we're going to have to time our release so that real spring is here. Not a calendar date, but when the water warms up, zooplankton blooms start occurring, and then that'll be time for the fish to get into the ocean and head on their ocean journey.
Commercial fishermen can begin to target hatchery returns usually about the 1st of May, when the Department of Fish and Game opens a number of so-called experimental or hatchery access fisheries near hatchery release sites. Depending on the number of wild salmon mixed in with the hatchery runs, the openings can last from a day or two to a couple of weeks, or until the 1st of July, when the regular commercial troll season opens. Hatchery access openings are shut down when a cap of wild or treaty fish is caught, usually 1,000. SERA Manager Burke says the hatchery openings in May and June represent a major opportunity not just for commercial, but also for sport fishermen this year.
I think if they would focus on catching the fish in some of the special harvest areas and terminal harvest areas, just the knowledge that those fish are not counted against the treaty, you know, if you can get some subset of charter guys or sport guys doing that, just like the net fishermen do, and we can get Sport Fish Division to do a good accounting of that, they will actually be able to increase their harvest.
By law, Alaskan hatchery fish enter the common property, although the two major hatchery programs in Southeast are funded through a self-imposed tax on the commercial salmon fleet. And Saraz Reifenstuhl says that choice came at the worst of times for Alaskan fishermen, and this year may be a little payback.
I just think the vision of fishermen in the 70s is pretty phenomenal. When the Alaska fisheries were at their lowest, all-time lowest in history, and they decided to tax themselves 3% to develop this program, and it wasn't for 12 years until they got something back from it. I think it's pretty remarkable.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.